Today, we're talking about five shocking secrets of the INFJ that we barely ever share with somebody else. Being an INFJ is a struggle in itself. It doesn't have to be, but most of the time it definitely is, until we recognize that the things we are most ashamed of are actually the things we should embrace the most. So today, we're looking into five shocking secrets that INFJs are not only keeping hidden from others, but very often to ourselves. We don't really acknowledge them, we don't talk about them to anybody, not even the people closest to us. But today we're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about all those things that we keep doing all the time, but we sort of feel like this is nothing we would ever be able to tell somebody else. Let's talk about it today and not only find a solution to go through them, but actually embrace them and to understand that this is actually a gift and we should look at all of the reasons why we're doing this, how we can learn from that, and actually grow into a life we always wanted. Before we get started, I want to remind you, if you haven't done this so far, to download the free poster on the INFJ Epic Life Formula. It's a holistic guide to creating your INFJ Epic Life on your terms. And if you want more of that, if you say now is the time, I'm going to take it to the next level, I'm reinventing myself and really tapping into my INFJ Epic Life potential, then get the INFJ Epic Life audio guide. Everything you need to know, you can find in the links in the description. Secret number one, INFJs struggle to see themselves as good people. So from the outside, it looks like INFJs think of themselves as holier than anybody else. This comes from the fact that INFJs really try to be good friends. They try to be, you know, helpful to other people. INFJs do everything in their power to not only appear as a good person, but really be a good person. And that is actually the indication for the fact that we struggle so much with really believing that we're good people. INFJs go above and beyond. Why do we do that? We do that to overcompensate. If you look at an INFJ, most of the time, they will do everything in their power not to make other people uncomfortable, particularly people who haven't done anything, you know, bad towards you. And I see that with INFJs all the time because, you know, in my unique scenario, I talk to INFJs all the time. There aren't many people who have so much contact with other INFJs as I do. And on top of that, like really interacting with somebody of your own type, it is a mirror. And you see behavior in them that you see in yourself over and over again. And this is one of the main ones. We really overcompensate. Because if you look at the people in your life, people that you love, people that you respect, people that you admire, they all do selfish things. They all do things that are good for them, but maybe aren't the best option for us or for another person. And we're not even questioning it. We're not thinking of them as bad people. We're not thinking of them doing something that is, you know, wrong or immoral, because this is just human behavior. Of course, there are moments and situations where you choose yourself first. You actually have to. But INFJs really go through life feeling like we're willing to really push down everything that would make us feel good in order to make others comfortable. Why are we doing this? Well, mainly because we can. We read others really well. And so therefore, this has been our coping mechanism from early childhood on. How do we get other people's approval? Oh, we understand what they want, so we're going to be hyper-focused on that. We can read them really well. We can then, you know, act in a way that makes us a mirror to them and to their experience. And so we have found this is our easiest way to get approval, to, you know, not get abandoned and so on. But now we're adults and we really have to look at the situation from a standpoint of, yes, this is a skill, I can do this, but this isn't necessarily what's best for me. So really look at it from the perspective of, am I really afraid that people are going to think that I'm a bad person if I make a choice now that benefits me more than them? And in most cases, the answer is going to be yes. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't move forward, you know, into another direction. Do it while you're afraid. Do it while knowing that people might think that you're selfish. Because it is on us to find a new balance. It's on us to find a new benchmark of, you know, what feels good. Because if we tend to be codependent, if we tend to go overboard in the direction of being a martyr if we push into the other direction, if we push into, you know, a space that is more balanced, that is healthy, you know, of course we're going to feel bad. Of course we're going to feel like we're bad people. But we have to go towards that in order to find a new, you know, place in a space that feels like our new normal, in which we feel like we're good people without doing everything in order to comfort others before we even think about comforting ourselves. Secret number two. We as INFJs can be really cold. So we're introverts, and our introverted functions are introverted intuition and introverted thinking. So these functions aren't like about love. They aren't about feelings. They're really all about creating a system. And that's how a lot of INFJs feel deep down inside. Yes, they might have great love for others. They might have great admiration. But when it comes down to it, when we have to make a hard choice, we can be very logical. We can understand what is a necessary step I have to take, what is a choice I have to make when I don't have any other out, and we're going to take that. Very seldom an INFJ is going to be led by their feelings to such an extent that it doesn't make sense logically. Yes, we tend to forgive often. Yes, we might get blindsided by our emotions for somebody else and allow bad behavior for way too long. But when it really comes down to it, we can make those hard choices. And you see, others might not be able to do that. They might act in a very impulsive way. They're not in control of their emotions. Deep down, we feel like we're really, really cold because we can make those choices. And this is actually one of the reasons why we make it so hard on ourselves to feel like we're lovable, because yes, we can exude this, you know, great amount of love for others and appreciation and comfort. We can do all of those things, but deep down we think that's not who we really are. Who we really are is like this cold machine who's just able to evoke emotions in others. What we have to remember though is that this cold, deep core of us is the reason why we can be so generous. It's the reason why we can go out of our way and be really giving, because deep down we can stand our ground. And so it's on us to really change that narrative and to understand it's always a combination of that. You know, some people have introverted thinking functions and then extroverted feeling functions, or vice versa. Like, there's so many combinations of that. And it's time that we start embracing our unique combination, because it gives us a lot of power to be fair, to be a strong partner, to be somebody who's going to make right decisions and who's also going to be generous and giving towards others. So really start looking at this part of you that feels cold as something positive, something that allows you to be a good person, something that allows you to be giving without expecting something in return, and not as something you should ever be ashamed of. Secret number three, we struggle with a unique superiority complex. So every person has some kind of superiority complex on some level. It just doesn't look the same way. We don't have the superiority complex that we feel like, oh, we deserve more than others, or, you know, people should like us and not like anybody else. Like, we deserve things that other people don't deserve. That's not the way we approach this. We do, however, have a superiority complex in the way of, I can struggle more than most. I can take more than most. There is a reason why there's this notion of INFJs are martyrs, because being a martyr gives us this feeling of superiority. We don't have to play by the same rules as everybody else. We're not even allowing ourselves to play by the same rules as everybody else, because it seems like life is harder for others than it is for us. I have to really sacrifice so much as an INFJ in order to be as valuable as others who don't have to make those sacrifices. They're allowed to think of themselves first. They're allowed to make selfish choices. I, as an INFJ, cannot. And that, my friends, is our superiority complex. And that is one of the reasons why we're not even allowing ourselves to go for the good life. We have to get to a place where we understand this is a coping mechanism. You know, those complexes, that's what they are. And that it isn't always a fact of, oh, I'm actually looking at this, you know, others deserve more than me, and that's not, you know, a superiority thing because I want them to have more than me. I don't think I deserve it. But really look at it from the perspective of, because I have this unique superiority complex, I'm not thinking from a place of I need to protect myself. I'm going to protect others before I protect myself because I can take more than others can. Let's really change that. What if you were a person like everybody else? Yes, you have a unique personality type, but if you compare yourself to any other person individually, you two have two different types. That's it. You're not comparing yourself to everybody in the world. You're continuously comparing yourself to one individual person. And it's always going to be you have a personality type and they have a personality type. And in most cases, they're going to have a different personality type than you. And so when you look at those two people, you do not need to sacrifice more than others. You do not need to protect yourself less than others. You're going to be a good person if you make sure that you protect yourself. You're going to be actually a better friend towards you and towards others if you make sure that your core is protected. Because then you can really tap into your full potential and you can really be the gift to the world that you are. So I encourage you to really look into that and to really ask yourself, what if I'm allowing myself to play by the same rules as everybody else in the world? Why do I have such high standards for myself that I don't have for anybody else? You are allowed to make sure you're good. You don't have to sacrifice more than everybody else in order to be accepted. But the person who has to change here, we all know that, is ourselves. We have to really demand that from ourselves and from others as well to really play by the same rules that we lay out for others. Don't put yourself in a unique position where you expect more of yourself than from everybody else. Stop being an observer all the time. Really allow yourself to make choices that put you first. And, you know, with practice, you'll see that it's okay. The world didn't collapse. You didn't get completely abandoned and all of those fears that we carry within ourselves. So dare to just go into that direction and trust yourself that if you go too far, if you're doing something that seems like, you know, unnecessary or rude or mean or anything like that, all those things that we're afraid of or arrogant, that you will course correct. You have the integrity to do that. Just allow yourself to tap more into that direction because we're probably leaning more into the direction of this unique superiority complex of, you know, I can take more pain than others can. Secret number four, it's difficult for us to connect with our own life. That being said, it doesn't mean that it cannot be done, and it's definitely something we should work on. But we as INFJs are really focused on what is going on outside of us. Yes, we can think things through. Yes, we can analyze ourselves. Like, I'm not even saying that INFJs are masters at this. But the thing that we lack so often is a real connection to our real life. We're daydreamers, we're visionaries, and anchoring ourselves into our life is something we don't like to do because it's painful and we have learned so many ways to really avoid that altogether. You know, it all starts in early childhood. We don't like a situation, we find a way to feel better about it. And a lot of people cannot really escape their life because it feels like they're anchored in and they can't get away. You know, so often you see in mainstream motivation, you know, you have to really be in your mind in a way of, oh, I'm living my new life. I'm not looking at where my current life is. I'm focusing on where I want to be. And this advice works like magic for people who are really anchored in into their lives. Because although their mind is going to be focused on the future, they still, you know, experience this entire thing from the perspective of I'm anchored in and now I'm pulling myself out. We as INFJs very often are not anchored at all. If we find a way to escape our life, you know, we would do that. That's why so many INFJs are attracted to people who live in different cities, who live a completely different life. We are attracted to friends who, you know, experience life differently than us, because it allows us really easily to bypass all those things in our life that we don't like. So we as INFJs have to really admit that to ourselves. We have to look at it and understand there's a reason why I don't find any joy in, you know, moving forward in my life, because there's no connection there. So how do we create this connection? The thing that I've found works really, really well for us INFJs, and it's one of those anchor points in the INFJ Epic Life audio guide as well, is you ask yourself the question, what if it never got any better than what it currently is? Because most of the time, it's this thought in our mind of, yeah, I don't like my life the way it is right now, but that's not how it's going to be. I already have an idea of, you know, how could it be? But ask yourself, what if I stayed in my relationship in the way it is right now, not how I wish it could be, but how it is right now? What if it stayed this way, this dynamic, until the end of my time? What if I had the job that I have right now, how it currently is, not how it's going to be next year, or, you know, what kind of increase in my salary I'm going to have, but right now, what if it stayed like this forever? What about my friendships? What about my apartment? Like, really ask yourself those questions, because if you ask this question of what if it never got any better, you're really forced to really acknowledge, okay, this is how it is right now. Because we have to get to a place where it becomes our mind, you know, future, pass all together holistically in order for us to actually confront ourselves with the fact of this is my life. You know, I can't bypass my life by continuously thinking, oh, you know, I don't like this, but it's going to get better. Well, in order for us to really make it get better, we have to take actions towards that. And in order to do that, we have to anchor ourselves in where we are currently, because that's the only place we can start in. You cannot start improving your future if you don't have a starting point. Because then, you know, you confront yourself with all those emotions of how you would wanted your life to be and how it isn't. And so you grieve, you feel, you heal. And then once you've accepted your life, how it is right now, you can then start being appreciative of it. You can start being grateful and proud of yourself for the life you've created so far. And then you can start creating more of that. So really don't just analyze this from the perspective of, oh, I know how this works theoretically. Put it to work. Like, ask yourself those questions. Confront yourself with this. What if it never got any better? What if it stayed the same way it is right now? And then really take that as a starting point. How can I make my life better than what it currently is? And then take actions towards that and compare your improvements based on how your life was yesterday or last week, and not only compare to, oh, this is my vision, I fall short to that, so why should I take any steps at all, right? Really look at what is the next right step I can take from where I am right now. Secret number 5, we as INFJs hide our immense power all the time. Why do we do that? Most of the time we do that because if we actually would show it off, and I don't mean in a way of, oh, I'm going to be boastful, or I'm going to, you know, go out of my way to make people feel inferior. That is the last thing we as INFJs want. But the truth is, we do have a lot of power. We can make things happen because of our vision, because of our inner strength. Like, there's so much, you know, power within us that we don't dare to put into the world. And we don't do that because of the fear of how people will react. People will see that we're not as, you know, helpless as they might have thought. We very often present ourselves in a way of, we are safe, we are not going to be dangerous, we're no danger to you, that's why you can open up to me. Because this is the best way for us to get the things we want at first sight, right? We are helpful to others, therefore we get accepted, we're part of their life, and so we do get ahead in life somehow. But we're never really going to tap into our full potential of everything we can do unless we say, I'm going to see how much power I actually do have and see what I can do with that power. The fear here, and it's a valid fear, is that people are going to see you differently. They're going to see that you are powerful, that you are dangerous, that they have to really protect themselves from you because you can read them, because you have the power to, you know, just be in a way that makes them feel bad about themselves. Because, you know, we are very often just mirrors for other people. You know, by us being as true to ourselves as we possibly can, this very often triggers other people. And so we're afraid of that. But, you know, guess what? Yes, we might be afraid of it. Yes, it might be hard. But we are INFJs, we can do hard things, and it's definitely worth it. So really look at the secret as something that doesn't have to be a secret. You don't have to go out of your way and show every single person what you're capable of. But I promise you, in most cases, we're not using that power to create the life we want. And once you do that, your entire life will look differently. Every dynamic will look differently. And so therefore, yes, you will meet some people who have no idea what, you know, you're capable of, but you're not hiding those things that would make you prove to yourself how powerful you actually are. Remember, if you want some more guidelines into creating that powerful, incredible INFJ epic life on your terms, then check out the poster on the INFJ epic life formula. That's a little teaser for the audio guide that goes really into detail that will help you to get the life you always wanted and that you know you're capable of. Everything you need to know you can find in the links in the description. And if you want to watch another video now that is in alignment with today's topic, then check out the video you see on the screen right now. I see you in the next one. Bye, guys.